powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, open the word of truth to 2 Peter 2, verse 17. 2 Peter 2, 17. All right, this is your opportunity once again up front to find yourself in fellowship. Whatever your concerns and preoccupations are, they will take care of themselves. God's in control. You're here to receive the spiritual information that we all need in order to navigate our way through the devil's world in the last days. So let's take the usual time to make the usual preparation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, since man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from your mouth, we are here because we take your word seriously, that which you revealed through the human authors, the information that is necessary for us to be fully prepared for the things that will unfold. Thank you for this opportunity and bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. All right, we continue with the false teachers. The particular brand of false teacher that had surfaced this early in the church age and were a threat to believers who were not on their guard. This is to give everybody a heads up with regard to the fact that the world is full of those types who would like to gain your attention and drag you in to their mess, their evil. The utter impotence of the false teachers. Here is a descriptive analogy. They are springs without water. The demonstrative pronoun these, translated these, are present indicative of the to-be verb I me. These are springs, pege, without water. That's an adjective. Anudras, it means without water. And another thing from nature, and mists driven by a storm, and a mist, umikle, mist, and they are driven, present passive participle of the verb elano. It means to impel forward. And then the word a mist driven by a storm. This word for storm is lilaps. It means a furious gust of wind. Their end? For whom? For whom the black darkness, gloom, or the word here, zophos, gloom, darkness, and then we have the definite article, skotos, that's the word for darkness. The other word is gloom, translate here black. Okay, black darkness has been reserved. Perfect passive indicative, tereo, means to guard, preserve, or reserve. All right. After Peter's excursus on Balaam, Peter returns to the attack upon the liberals, these extreme individuals. The theological liberals are featured here. because it is their objective to attack biblical Christianity, infect the unwary with their systems of the seducers of biblical Christianity. And there have been many and are many, are described in two striking metaphors in this verse. First, they are springs without water. This describes the unsatisfactory nature of their propaganda. Be like going to a spring and discovering there's no water there to quench one's thirst. This describes the unsatisfactory nature of their propaganda. It does not satisfy the human soul and bring it into the truth and give people hope and orientation. No, it is not. It is sheer propaganda designed to attack specifically, that's all they've got to do, is attack biblical Christianity. People, believers and unbelievers, come to it as to a spring, naively expecting thirst-quenching refreshment, only to find no drinkable water. That's what is involved with those who expose themselves to these type of people. Six, only the person who is in touch with the pure waters of sound doctrine finds lasting satisfaction. Seven, heterodoxy, false doctrine, is all very novel, but is totally unsatisfying. Liberalism cannot quench the longing for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger for righteousness. Hunger and thirst, they will be filled. Liberalism, again, cannot quench the longing for righteousness and answers that make sense. They are also misdriven by a storm. What's that? Well, first, Aristotle tells us that the homiliki, if I pronounced that one right, because only found here, so I won't have to try again. Aristotle tells us that this is the haze which heralds dry weather, but is so easily dispersed by a sharp gust of wind. Now, what's that all about? Well, the metaphor contains two elements. First, like the preceding metaphor, the proponents of liberalism are a source of bitter disillusionment to the parched traveler or anxious farmer. 13. Second, this metaphor speaks to the instability of the false teachers and the ephemeral nature of their teachings. Here today, gone tomorrow. Someone else comes up with another package, and away we go down the road. It's just endless. Libraries are filled with these type people's books and writings. I suspect that none of you are exposed to any of these people, only in a peripheral way by hearing something. I see from time to time on the news stuff an occasional attack on the Bible. An out-and-out attack. Try and discount something in the Bible. Who was the first human? That was one headline. Well, it was not Adam. Really? See, there you go. So you can mix it with their fake science or philosophy or whatever it is. This stuff is being exuded from pulpits in various types of Christian, so-called Christianity today. in universities, on TV, all of it. What do you think we got into this position we're into when we are advocating stuff that is absolutely wrong in every way? The opposite is true, and away we go, and we're running down this road. You can call it wokeism, you can call it whatever you want, but it all comes out of these individuals and goes down to the general population. And you're a bad guy, a person, if you don't comply and agree with it. It touches on every aspect of human life. Secondhand bookstores are filled with their philosophical and psychological rubbish. The latest offering is advertised as providing insight to the unwary and the naive. I remember taking, I dropped the course. I took philosophy at the University of Missouri, and they're in there debating all these different philosophers of the past, and it was just, it was sick. It made no sense. And they argue with each other back and forth. I couldn't wait to drop that course. I just could not. I was a believer then. And not an informant, but I could see through all that. That it was going nowhere. They're just running around in circles. Their teachings are unsubstantial and flimsy. One shoots the other one down, and away we go. No. They cause a sensation, theological audacity, when the product of their untaught and depraved minds is paraded before the public. 18. These types come in many guises, but all fail to deliver that which brings true spirituality to the hapless listeners. But people choose to put themselves under this stuff. No wonder there's so many psychological problems people are having. It's not the only reason. To be constantly exposed to that type of teaching and exposure. All right, point 19, as for the darkness reserved for the liberal heretics, it is akin to darkness that they cast over humanity. So they're going to wind up in darkness because they are, by and large, not even believers. The darkness reserved for them is much thicker and eternal. So that's one aspect of the suffering of the afterlife for the unbeliever. This verse supports the interpretation that that the primary subjects of this prophecy are unbelievers. Yes, believers get caught up in it, but that the, by and large, it's unbelievers that promote this stuff, as I said, in academic institutions and elsewhere. And some of these, well, they all are, so bizarre, so out there. Things like nothing's real. Nothing exists. Would you spend another minute listening to somebody like that? It's all just a big dream or something. Existence. They defy all your senses, everything that you are made up of, to try to bring people into this. Now, what kind of a life can someone live if that's what they believe? The phrase here is literally the gloom of darkness. For the parallel expression of Jude 13, not chapter 13, verse 13, there's only one chapter. The parallel expression in Jude 13 is, for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. So when they check out, they go to hell, and a part of that realm is this thick darkness. They promoted darkness, now they can live for eternity in it. Because they didn't come to the light if they were ever exposed. And probably a lot of them were to the plan of salvation. The statement also here also parallels the one found in 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment. So a special darkness is reserved. They have reservations. They don't even know it, but they have reservations in the underworld of hell, with its darkness and all of it, and no hope and nothing. They didn't offer anything but darkness while they were on earth, and so they live in darkness. When a person comes to faith in Jesus Christ, they come out of darkness into the light. Now what they do with that in terms of living and walking in the truth, that's another matter. So many believers today, so many, are so confused, so untaught correct information. It's just everywhere. All you have to do is listen to stuff coming out of their mouth or have someone tell you what someone said. And this includes people who walk away from sound doctrine that they got in Maranatha. Everything starts getting scrambled and they start sounding like and speaking like a fundy. They don't speak in categories of doctrine like they once had. Everything's fluid and they're all tossed here and there by this and that. I've seen it firsthand and secondhand. I've had it reported to me. This is where they went. It's sad, but it's what it is. I've warned and warned and warned. You do not pick and choose what doctrines you're going to embrace. Once it is clearly taught and laid out, you and I are bound to abide by it. How about the doctrine of right pastor, right congregation? Do you believe that one? Do you believe that the Lord places the right person over an adjusted church? The properly trained and informed male with the gift of pastor, teacher, and God places them? And those who come of their own free will and identify with that communicator are bound to stick with it. And you don't take other man's sheep and start up some operation. I don't care how much doctrine you got in it. You violated a cardinal rule. And you're going to pay for it. But that's on another subject. So the special darkness is reserved for them. Negative volition to the gospel spends eternity in darkness, since men love darkness and not the light of truth, John 3:19. For this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world. That is a reference to Jesus Christ. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Normal people like a light. Normal people like a bright sunny day, don't they? I mean, normal people. They like a bright room, except when you're going to go to sleep. They like light. They don't like to be stumbling around, trying to feel their way around in a dark room. For this is the judgment, that the light, Christ is referring to himself, that's why on your version there, the New American Standard, the light is capitalized. That the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. That's why people who, I say, mistakenly come here, hey, let's go in, let's go see what that church is. They can't get out of here fast enough. Because Bible doctrine exposes the darkness in the world and in our lives, and we are expected to make adjustments and get away from it, whether it's something we believe or some deeds that we're involved in. I'm up here to distribute light to you, to lighten your path, so you can navigate your way through your life and not make big mistakes. I give you doctrine so that you can do the right thing under whatever it is you're involved in, whatever you're facing. Instead of running with the STA and the usual human viewpoint, what encourages me as a believer is the promises of God in His Word. I must cling to them because I don't get it from out there. And these people out there, including a lot of Christians, they don't have this sound doctrine you got at Maranatha. And yeah, I'm boasting on what God's given me and distributed. We've got the information, but you can see how many people want to hear it in our community. But we still keep cranking it out, even if there's just a few that are interested and serious about the Christian way of life. There's all kinds of people out there that will talk you right out of your crown. And some of them went to this church. So you better be on your guard when anyone starts undermining it. Well, what do you think that when you start hearing it presented in that fashion, you know you're dealing with a problem. You got someone that is hostile to your spiritual interests right in front of you. Oh, they'll be nice and oh, how are you? And well, of course. They probably won't come on and go for the jugular and say you're stupid to go to Maranatha. But that's what they're saying. And what'd they leave over? A doctrine they wouldn't embrace. They wouldn't give it time. They wouldn't. I know, because if you truly were intellectually honest and prayed, you'd see. So they don't want to come in. They don't want to come into the light because it'll expose their human viewpoint and those things in their lifestyle that are out of line. They want to wallow in darkness. The things they want to put ahead of alignment with the directive will of God, the viewpoint will of God, and the operational will of God. The viewpoint is, what does God want me to think about? Fill in the blank. The directive will of God is clear enough. Operational will of God, when you got up today, you just said, I'm going to Bible class. Oh, I don't feel that great today. No, I'm going to Bible class. Oh, I'm under a test. Well, I really need to go to Bible class so that I can deal with it properly and glorify God. Because as long as you're under your STA and miserable about it, then you're not going to have inner peace and acclimation to it. The bigger the application, the bigger the rewards. Yeah, but. No, yeah, buts. About it. Yes, it may take a while to figure out in a particular thing what you should do. For everyone who does evil hates the light. Those that want to participate in STA activity, for instance, up to their ears, they don't like the light. It isn't saying that somebody in here couldn't be involved in some way off, out of line stuff. Well, then this must not be a fun place to be. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is going to keep convicting you of the fact that you need to make this change in your life. But for the general population, and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices, applies the truth, comes to the light, so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. This is what God would have me to do under this set of circumstances. That's the roadmap, and you follow it. Not just, oh, this is what I want. Well, it is not for lack of light that these individuals end up in hell. As I said, a lot of them have studied, done a lot of studying and reading, these so-called scholars. They've had to come across a presentation of the plan of salvation. They had to come across and heard it on the big names in church history. They know what the Bible is. It's right here. It's historically the most published and purchased book on the earth, the Bible, to this day. Not all the versions are that great, but anyway, they've come across it. They've heard it one-on-one. They've read it. They've been exposed to the light. And they didn't step back and say, you know what? I can't risk being wrong about this plan of salvation these Christians are promoting. I can't afford it. I don't know if they're right or not. But here's what I'm going to do. If that God exists, and all the indications are that there is a supreme creator being, unless you want to buy into Darwinianism and its latest versions. If you were to seek God and help him, ask him to help you to overcome your intellectual hang-ups, he'd do it. And you'd figure it out. But they don't want to go down that path. They do not want to have their deeds exposed. This is the average man out there too. They don't want to come in here and have their deeds exposed. They want to go to a feel-good church, sing a bunch of songs, praise Jesus, take up an offering, join a program. They do not want their human viewpoint brought in out into the light. But we who are positive do. We want to be corrected with regard to the directive will of God. So it's not for lack of light that these individuals end up in hell. They of all people are especially culpable. Having had close association with Christian teachings and exposure to all of this as a result of their exposure to the academic world, then they come up with this idea. Give it a name. Publish a book. Go on a speaking tour. And if they can get in a church, they will. And spread this stuff. As I said, and I don't go looking for it. I just see these people attacking the Bible or being stupid about things. The Jewish question. That one site, it's got all this conservative stuff and attacks all the liberals and the communists and the whatever you want to call them in our society, in politics. But when it comes to Israel, they fall flat on their face. They have no doctrine. The basic stuff you've learned here. Israel's restoration to the land and rebirth as a nation among the nations. In 1948, after all those centuries of dispersion, reestablishing a Jewish nation, yeah, they're in unbelief. And yeah, there's a lot of Jews that have done some really awful stuff. I can give you a list of names of individual Jews that are just so corrupt it isn't funny. So what? Does that change the promise to Abraham that his racial regenerate seed will inherit the land forever? No. And the fact that the majority of them over there and here and elsewhere are still in unbelief doesn't matter. It's going to be the ones that come out of this and turn around and turn their back on the teachings of their forefathers regarding the central issue in Christianity is what is the way of salvation? Who's the Savior? Who's the Messiah? So they always like to bring up some Jew in the world or in this country. The Jews have control over America. They're doing this and this and this. So what? I'm going to even argue it with you. It doesn't matter. So that means, therefore, we can just wipe out the Jewish state and all Jews because of this? Are all Frenchmen good? All Irishmen good? Come on. We've had some terrible Americans that were traitors up to their ears. I read a really good article exposing a certain one of them that's now got his reservations in darkness. Walter Cronkite. Oh, so appealing. Blah, blah, blah. Get in and look at the details. He's a big one worlder. He had to soft pedal it and be careful on the nightly news. But he got awards from these one worlders. When he got out, when he retired, he was more outspoken about it. This isn't an interest in a constitutional republic called the United States of America. But he appeared to be, you know. This is an example of someone who had a lot of influence because he mesmerized people. The liberalism of the 19th century was a reaction to the widespread Christian worldview of Western civilization. And they had to start bringing up some doctrine, some teachings to debunk the Bible. And they had to, and what are they going to attack? Creation, how it got here. That's what they did. And changed the whole outlook of humanity with regard to the creation. And we just recently dug ourselves out of a big hole. The shape of our world. I laugh every time I hear this stuff anymore. It is so ridiculous. Running around, I didn't get it. Spinning around on a ball. And you can't feel anything. You can't detect anything. They can't show you on your screen, can they? One of their wonderful telescopes out there, so-called, and show us 24/7 and have it on your screen as a screensaver or something so you can watch the world spin. Watch it turn. See the continents and everything? No. Those pictures they put out are all computer-generated images. And people pointed out all the problems with them because they're not real careful all the time. But there's all these reasons why this is a joke. Because if you go with the firmament-domed flat earth with pillars, foundations, of course nobody's been outside there to take pictures of that. We'll have to wait and see that when we topside. We'll get to see it then. Balls don't have pillars and corners. The last time I checked. Nobody talks about a basketball and say, look at the corners on the basketball. What? You nuts? Well, it isn't funny to people who are still being tossed to and fro with this mess. It's a part of your witness as a Christian. You don't have to go up and start with people. But they got this. They got this in our academics, got us all the way down to believing this stuff. They can't show a weather program, and they'll show the earth, and of course it's like this. Always. It's not necessary, but they always do it. See, that's how it is inculcated in people. Surely these people know what it is. Oh, they couldn't have fooled us with that. Well, they just did. They have fooled the masses with a lot of stuff. Look at the ancient pagan world. Oh, they were dummies. They believed that this was there was a god of the this and the this and the this. Yeah. But they were otherwise intelligent. So in the modern world, we got rid of that, so we got a new can of worms. You can shoot this stuff down all day, but still they're going to dig their heels in. Darwinism was spawned during that century. If evolution is true, then absolutes fly out the window. Can you find anything more opposite than the 6 days that God used on that first week to put everything on earth? Everything. All animals, humans were the last thing. All of it. In 24 hours, boom, 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 boom. That's the natural reading of Genesis 1. It didn't take... I mean, they put it out all the time. 168 million years ago, this animal... Well, if that animal exists, it's not anything close to that long ago that it was placed on the earth. Yes, a bunch of them have become extinct. I think a bunch of them, some of the real big ones, got wiped out at the flood. And they find their bones. Sure. They're misinterpreting this stuff. They say they found the city of Atlantis in the ocean. The lost city of Atlantis. They say they found it. They think they found it. Okay. When did that, if that's true, then when did that city get buried at Noah's flood? Yet they'll come around and say, you know, we think Noah's Ark's up there in the Ararat mountain range in Turkey. God left it. Just like he's left other things to show the Bible is the word of God. But they run from that stuff. It took a Fundy Christian, I think he was Pentecostal to boot, to find the true Red Sea crossing site and all the evidence. Have you seen that on the news? Have you seen that in the Scientific American? Or in an archaeological... No. Somebody just sent me a recent clip of a guy talking about the rock at Rephidim that Moses struck with his staff. And it split. When we're talking a rock, 5 stories high approximately. It split. And out of a rock... came water. Well, it didn't come out of the rock, technically. It was created by God like a fountain. Just kept all this water for the Jews in the wilderness. And the rock has all the evidence, physical, that water has run over it because it's smooth. And it's just sitting out there. You got a picture of it on our bulletin board back there. I sent the thing to a couple of people. The guy stand there talking about this rock that God told Moses to go out and strike it with his walking staff. Because the Jews were all falling apart because they didn't have water. They either flunked a test with too much water, wrong kind of water, or no water. Those are the water tests. They flunked every test. Well, they did get their act together at the too much water, the Red Sea crossing. The enemy's behind him and is not happy. And they get on the other side and they found these lakes that were the bitter lakes. the water was undrinkable. And God tells Moses to throw a dead tree trunk into it. That doesn't make any sense. There's no science there. It's a miracle. And striking the rock was a symbol of Christ being struck by our sins, and out of it comes eternal life. How about that? So it serves two purposes. It gave them water for all the needs they had, and for all the time they were at Sinai. Water running everywhere. Just gushing out of being created ex nihilo, which means Latin, out of nothing, into something. It didn't exist, and God created billions of gallons of water, upon billions, for the time Israel was at Sinai. And we got evidence of that. We got physical evidence and all that other stuff. We got physical evidence. These names and places in the Bible aren't made up. Yes, there's some obscure ones, to be expected. But sometimes when obscure ones are there, then someone comes, oh yeah, here it is. It's all correct geographically, historically, everything. Your Bible is not just a book made up of stories, like these liberals would say. Unverifiable stories. Yeah. All right. Darwinism was spawned during this time. 32. With God out of the picture, men are free to formulate their own mores. 33. The structure of this verse is poetic and grandiose. In our verse 17 right here. It's poetic and grandiose. These are springs without water. No one will have life-saving water by going to them. And mist driven by a storm. They're ephemeral. That's my word, ephemeral. Here today, gone tomorrow. What's the new fad? Like fads come and go, you know? I've lived long enough to see all the fads. Clothing fads. All the rest of it. And it's, oh, it's a big deal. Yeah, rah, 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 rah. And then time passes and it's, and we go over here. For whom the black darkness has been reserved. They have reservations in hell. They made their reservations when they were negative at God consciousness and gospel hearing. That's how they secured and kept their reservations alive. Because they wouldn't come out to the truth. They wouldn't do true, intellectually honest investigation. How do you get to the bottom of anything if you just pop off about something or someone comes with some model that is unworkable? Like the spinning ball earth, that they have to come up with all kinds of explanations as to how the water holds on it and there's no tidal waves and blah, 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 and how the Nile River can run uphill. Please. Oh, for students in a classroom, of course, they're not going to change. And you don't want to necessarily embarrass the guy up there. He's an embarrassment, but he's got a PhD and he went to this big university and everything, and he's had his mind totally soaked in this mess. And like every other human being, he had an opportunity to find the truth. And he can't answer your question. And just saying, well, that's just the way it is. That's not an answer. You know what one person said to me that was a longtime member? The reason that they put a flat earth on the UN flag was to fool us. Oh, really? Most people don't even give the UN flag and what is on it a second look. It's a flag with a... doesn't have a globe on it? They couldn't put a globe on it? They had to put this flat earth picture that I have this map of? They couldn't... really? And I saw other other artwork, or what do you want to call it, with metal things in UN stands sitting around. And it was the same thing. It wasn't a spinning ball. They know. We're the chumps. They know. And they thumb their nose at us because they know what it is. But they are such God haters that they keep going down this road. So, it is interesting to note how many Homeric, that's Homer, and tragic words like Zophos, darkness, to utter, we had that, miss, passed into common use in Koine Greek and versus classical Greek, you know, the High Greek. There's classical Greek in the New Testament, the introduction to Luke's Gospel. He was a Greek. Passed into common use in Koine Greek and indeed appeared in modern Greek. We'll pick this up after our coffee refreshment break.